You guys have a good Thanksgiving? Good food? Well, we had a good Thanksgiving, and it's fun hanging out with the Verbeckis. Thank you for having us again. And we had a good time with them, with their family, which we always enjoy. And let's just pray as we dig into God's Word today that He would speak to us specifically what He wants to say and do in us. May our ears be opened to what God wants to say. Father, I just pray, Lord, as we read Your Word, as Lord, this morning, as I share Your Word, Lord, that You would open up our hearts, our minds, that, Lord, You'd pinpoint any areas of our life that You want to change, transform, and bring into the image of Your Son. And so I pray, Father, right now in Jesus' name, that You just open our ears to hear what You want to say. We invite You, Holy Spirit, in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, last week, we talked about temptation. And as I remember, I think most of us would say we don't like to face the test of temptation, right? We don't like when we face that test, and we especially don't like it when we fail and fall into a temptation. But as we talked about last week, as we were going through the book of James, James made it very clear that he wanted us to know that when we are tempted, we are not tempted by God, that God's not out there trying to tempt us to do evil. Instead, as we saw in the first chapter of James, when we are tempted by our own desires. So when we fail the test, when we give into our particular sin, it is our fault alone, no one else's. And as we talked about last week, sometimes we want to fall into that blame game. We want to blame someone. So some people blame God. Well, God made me that way. Others want to blame their spouse, their significant other, a family, a friend. Some blame temptation. It's just too hard. I just couldn't get through it. Others blame the devil. But these are all excuses, because when we fall in temptation and fail the test, we need to stop blaming others and we need to take ownership of it in our own lives. And until we do take ownership, it's easy to blame others, make excuses for it. And I can see that really happening when you're in a marriage and you're struggling in your relationship with your spouse and you're just not getting along. And, well, it's their fault. No, it's their fault. And this blame game takes place instead of you before God are accountable for how you respond. It's not their fault. It's your fault for how you pass or fail the test of temptation. But also, you may have remembered also last week, as I ended the message, we saw that I loved how James, kind of after he talked about temptation, he gave us these inspirational words that we are, you know what? We have a good Father. He does not change, and He chose us. And He desires to give us good things. And if you recall, before that verse in James, he says, you know what? Do not be deceived, right? He just talked about God doesn't tempt you, and I want you to know every good, every perfect gift comes from the Father of lights, from whom there's no variation or shadow of turning. And He just really tells us, you know what? We have a good Father. He's unchanging, and He's fighting on our behalf. Well, this week, if you have your Bibles, please open your Bibles to James chapter 1, verse 19. And I'm not going to get really far in the message today, because I want to do a little bit, something different for our communion today. So we're going to camp out on this verse today in James chapter 1, verse 19. And I'll be really focusing on the first part of this verse. And James says, "Know this, my beloved brothers, Let every person be quick to hear, slow to speak, slow to anger. Again, let every person be quick to hear, slow to speak, slow to anger. And I'm going to be focused on the quick to hear, slow to speak. You know, here James challenges us to do something I think kind of difficult for some of us. I don't know about you, but is it very easy to be quick to hear and slow to speak? Here we see quick in the Greek means, it means to be prompt, to be ready, to be swift. So we are to be swift to hear, slow to speak. Have you ever heard the saying, God gave us two ears and one mouth for a reason? Well, there's an illustration, there's a picture I want to show you that really illustrates that point, right? He gives us two ears for a reason and one mouth. How often do we speak before we listen? Have you ever been in a conversation with someone and they keep interrupting you and just not letting you finish your thoughts? How frustrating. You have a thought, you want to say something, and they keep interrupting you. Or that person, instead of interrupting, they keep trying to finish your sentences for you. And I think sometimes it's easy for husband and wives to fall into that. You know your spouse so well, you want to maybe interrupt them and just finish their thought because you just want to say something. As a husband, I never do that to my wife. She's not here. She can't say anything about it, right? I don't know how many times. I'm such a quiet person anyway. And we'll be discussing with friends or we're sitting around talking about something and I'll say something. Normally, it's the look I get from my wife that tells me I'm kind of out of place, right? And look like, if I catch it, and sometimes I'm a guy and I'm maybe spending time in this box over here and I should be not. And you know how to talk, we have different boxes in our mind. And my wife will give me that look. If I don't get the look, she'll say, Reed, you're just not letting me finish. Sorry, honey. Puts me right back in my place because sometimes I like to speak more than listen. I wonder how many disputes would be resolved with a spouse or family member if we would just take time to listen. Take time before we speak to listen to what they say, to really listen, not just to hear, okay, and just be thinking what you want to say, but to listen to what they're wanting to say. To listen before we determine their intentions or their thoughts. Because later we'll see in James 3, as we get into James 3, later he'll be sharing about the dangers of the tongue. But if we learn and begin to learn to listen and before we speak, that will help us on this journey through James because he'll talk about the dangers of the tongue. And if we just learn to listen more, then we're not going to speak more. So then we're not going to say things that we should not say. Would you consider yourself a good listener? Would you consider yourself a good listener? Or do you maybe struggle like me? You want to speak. You want to say things. Larry King said this, quote, I remind myself every morning, nothing I say this day will teach me anything. So if I'm going to learn, I must do it by listening, unquote. In an article by Skills You Need, the writer said, quote, listening is the ability to accurately receive and interpret messages in the communication process. Listening is the key to all effective communication. Without the ability to listen effectively, messages are easily misunderstood. As a result, communication breaks down and the sender of the message can easily become frustrated or irritated, unquote. I think we've all experienced that when someone was not really listening to us. Have you ever been misunderstood because someone wasn't unwilling to listen to you? Or have you ever misunderstood someone because you were unwilling to listen to them? As a husband, are you talking, are you taking time to listen to your wife? Really listen, not trying to troubleshoot her problem. How many guys like to fix problems? How often our wives just don't want us to fix the problem. They just want us to listen. But we want to go in there, oh, okay, here's A, B, and C. Do this here. Come on. And I know Morgan does not do that. Yeah. Well, I get to know Morgan. You know, sometimes I talk to David and Julie, and they'll, oh, yeah, we'll hear a thing. Okay, Morgan's a problem solver, right? Well, sometimes our wives don't like that. They just want us to hold them, to love them, to be there for them, and just support them and listen for them. Are you a good listener, or do you just talk too much? Isn't half the battle in marriage is that your spouse just wants to be heard? To show them that you love and respect them. And it also prevents misunderstanding. You know, one time you ever notice in your conversation, if you don't quite understand what you're listening to, sometimes a good way to get clarification to them, to let them know that you're listening, is just look at them and say, hey, you know what? Hey, Julie or John, or you're saying that this hurts you because when I make jokes about you in front of people, you don't feel protected. You just kind of rehash what you've been listening to, and if for any reason you're not understanding what they say, then you're able to listen again for clarity. Sometimes it's just a reaffirming, oh, is this what you're saying you're feeling this way, and you say that to them, they have been listening, or no, that's not really what I'm saying, right? You get clarity, but it's through listening. We want to learn to listen. People want to be heard, and as James says, we're to be quick to hear, we're to be swift to hear, and slow to speak. Listen to these verses in the Bible. Proverbs 18:13 says this, if one gives an answer before he hears, it is folly and shame. Proverbs 17:27 says, whoever restrains his words has knowledge, and he who has a cool spirit is a man of understanding. Proverbs 18:2 says, a fool takes no pleasure in understanding, but only expresses his opinion. And Proverbs 10:19 says, when words are many, transgression is not lacking, but whoever restrains his lips is prudent. There was a story, you know, I came across this week, and I'd like to read the story to you. And it was a story, put out an article by a woman who does counseling and talks about the importance of listening when we counsel, when we talk to people, the importance of listening. Let me just read this article. The story, it's called The Woman in the Woods. Once upon a time, there was a young woman, let's call her Ella, just so she has a name, even though it really does not matter, and she lived in the forest around the castle, and she had studied nature for as long as she could think. She would sit quietly for hours and watch and learn, and the creatures of the forest were unafraid of her, seeing her as one of their own. And when she went to the market, she would study the men and women around her, their voices, the way they talked with their faces and with their arms. And one day, while she was walking through the forest, she felt a darkness coming. The birds flew startled to their nest. The squirrels and the rabbits rustled through the leaves to their homes. Ella didn't understand where the darkness had come from, so she herself hurried home towards safety. The next day she heard the whispers at the market, the queen has fallen sick, a curse, turned into a beast, insane. Wherever you went, there was a different story, but all were saying the same, the queen has changed overnight. All the doctors were summoned to do whatever it takes to cure the queen. The first doctor went in and recoiled from the sight of her. She had turned into a shadow of herself, a wild shadow. She had me clutching her hair that was now a wild mess. Little lines of blood covered her face where she was scratching herself. She was huddled in a corner, eyes closed, softly crying and rocking herself. As the doctor, without hesitation, approached, quick, loud steps, her eyes flew open and she started to scream. Surely she is possessed, the doctor diagnosed. We will drive the evil out of her. So they tried. But the next doctor found the queen unchanged. Surely it's the disease, he said. I will have medicine for that. And so it was done. The next doctor only found the queen a little drowsier, but otherwise unchanged. And she shouted at her to stop it, to be calm. Stop crying, he said. Stop crying. But she'd only scream louder. The fourth doctor was different. He tried to talk to her. He told her in reasonable voice that there's no reason to scream, that everything was all right. All is well. All will be fine. There'll be no need to worry. Now, surely she would understand that it was time to calm down, but the queen did not. She kept crying, huddling in her corner. Incurable, the doctor said, grave faces. There's nothing that can be done. The young woman who had been intrigued had come along to the castle like so many following the doctors, to see what was happening. She came forward. She went past the doctors and stood in front of the king. "Might I help the queen?" she asked. The doctors laughed. "Woman," they said, "surely if we can't help, what would you have to offer?" And the woman thought about it, because that's what she did. And she thought about stuff and said, "An open mind." The king, quite desperate and willing to try, all agreed for the woman to see the queen. And the woman looked at him. "I do have one condition." The doctors were outraged. "How dare she? Surely she'd be happy enough to be heard and not kicked out of the castle. But now she's making demands of the king." And the king sighed and nodded. "What is it you want?" "Time," she said. "I want 1 week with the queen." The doctors smirked. They were used to quick fixes. That's what they did. "A week?" Surely that would show the king that she wasn't needed. But the king, to the astonishment of the doctors, agreed, and the woman was led to the queen's room and quietly walked in. The queen was still huddled in her corner. She was crying and had her blanket clutched around her. She looked like she was trying to escape from the world. And the woman went to the bed and sat down. The queen didn't even notice her and kept sobbing. But the woman just sat there, waiting, being there, studying the queen. The way she rocked herself faster if there was a loud noises on the corridor. The way she calmed down a little when it got quieter. How sometimes she would dig her nails into her arm till there was blood trickling down. How sometimes she hummed to herself. So the first 3 days passed. The doctors started laughing again, reassuring that the woman couldn't do what they weren't able to. And the fourth day passed, and still the woman sat at the queen's bed, quietly present. On the fifth day, the queen looked at her. They looked at each other in silence, and the queen went back to her own little world. On the sixth day, the queen sat next to the woman. Both were quiet. Then the queen said to her, "Are you not scared?" The woman thought about it and said, "Yes, I am." "Why are you here?" "To listen to you." "Why did you not talk to me earlier?" "You weren't ready." They sat in more silence. The woman softly started singing the song she had heard earlier from the queen. And the queen sobbed, but a different sobbing. The young woman put her hand on the queen's hand and said, "It's okay to be in pain." So they sat for the day, and when the night fell, the queen started talking. The young woman let her talk about the sudden fear that had crept upon her out of nowhere, how she suddenly had felt surrounded by darkness, how she could see the outer world but somehow couldn't reach it, how she had cut her arm and face just to feel something, how she had felt the presence of the woman and her patience. The queen kept talking. The young woman kept listening. Once in a while, they would sit in silence. And then the queen said, "My mother would sing that song to me when I was a little girl and felt scared." The young woman did not interrupt. She listened and listened and listened until the sun rose again. And on the seventh day, the king, closely followed by the doctors, came to see the queen and found her transformed. The shadow hat lifted, and the queen came forth to greet her husband, smiling, not cured yet, but back in our world. And the doctors, not amused, left but one. It was the fourth doctor. He looked at the woman, a little resentful, a little curious. "What did you give that I didn't give?" he asked. And the woman thought about it. "I gave her time," she said. And then she added, "and myself. I gave her a little bit of myself." How often we want solutions. How often we want to try to fix someone. How often do we speak instead of just listening? Just being quiet. Just hearing what a person says, being with them through the trial, not giving anything, and just waiting and listening to their grief. Isn't it so true that listening and hearing takes time, and in doing so, we give ourselves to others. We're showing someone we love them. Because there's so many people that are hurting that just want their story to be heard. So we need to learn to listen instead of speaking. I don't know about you. We are in a fast-paced McDonald's culture. Everything is fast. You want to get better fast. If not, you take pills. It's all these things. Be quick. We're in a hurry. And sometimes we lose the art and discipline of learning to listen to one another, to listen to the need, to the hurt, and what's going on. It's so hard in our busy culture. We're always in a hurry. And I want you to just watch this. It puts it humorously on how busy we get. This clip from a fun movie I watched with my kids called Zootopia. And I want you to just listen to this. Just watch this clip here. We're so hurt. We're so much in a hurry. You see her with a big ear. And he's... Maybe we need to be more like a sloth in our lives when it comes to listening. Just listen. Listen. We need to learn to listen. To listen to one another. But there's another important principle about listening I want us to hear from the message today. We talk about listening, the importance of being slow, quick to listen, swift to listen, and slow to speak. But now let's bring that to our relationship with God. Do we take time to listen to God in our lives? To hear good from God? Do we, if I was to ask you today, I won't bring up and ask you, hey, Robin, what's God doing in your life? What did he say to you this week? What did he say to you this week? Would you be able to say anything? What has God been saying? Are we listening? Yes, we need to listen to one another and be slow, just be quick to listen. But you know what? I wonder if we learn the principle in our relationship with God, if it will overflow into our relationships with one another. Idea of learning to listen to God. So many times we come to God and we're in a hurry and we don't take time to listen. There's so many times we come to God and we just talk away. We talk his ear off. But not giving God an opportunity to speak. Are we hearers? Because what we will see next week, we need to be hearers of God's word, but we also need to be doers. That's important. You need both of those. But we first need to be good hearers. And we need to be hearers of God, from God in our lives. Do you give God the opportunity to speak in your life? And as we went through the book of Colossians, as we looked at the sufficiency of Jesus Christ, that in him are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge, he's all we need, he's everything, he's our life support, he's everything. Yet we run, like in a car, we run on the fumes, we're on empty, and we need to hear from God, because when you hear from God, I guarantee, it fills you right up. But how often we don't listen to God. We don't take the time to listen to God because we're busy, we have so many distractions, we have so many other things we're doing, and we're just not slowing down to spend time and to listen from him. For in Christ, all the fullness of the Godhead is found. In Christ is all we need. Listen to the invitation of Jesus in Revelation chapter 3 and verse 20. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into him and eat with him and he with me. There's many of us that don't hear the knock. And in a sense, we just leave Jesus out in the rain. He's there. He wants to be heard. He wants us to be listening. But it's different because with God, I could just talk to you. With God, we need to train our ears to hear what God is saying to us. But we need to take time away from the busyness, away from the chaos, to be able to spend time in His Word and just listen and see what He wants to say to us. Because if you are His child, do you think He wants to speak to you? Do you, with your kids, if you have kids or grandkids or relatives, don't you want to hear? Don't you want to talk to your kids? If God, if we want to do that and we're evil and we do that, how much more God, who is good and perfect and holy, and we are His children, and He wants to speak to us. He wants us to hear from Him. John 10, 27 and 28 says this: "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. I will give them eternal life, and they will never perish, and no one will snatch them out of my hand." Jeremiah 33, 3 says, "Call to me, and I will answer you." For Him to answer us, we must be able to hear what He says to us. "Call upon me and I will answer you, and I will tell you great and hidden things that you do not know." Hebrews 3:15 says, and it is said, "Today, if you will hear His voice, do not harden your hearts as in the rebellion." And in Revelation 3, verse 22, it says, "He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches." In the last verse, Romans 10:17, it says this: "So faith comes from hearing, and hearing through the word of Christ." What is God saying to you today? Are you taking time to listen? I don't know your view on the Sabbath, but you know, I wonder one of the main reasons for the Sabbath, or one good reason to do the Sabbath, is to take a time to just take a break from all the chaos and to spend time remembering God and to be able to listen. When was the last time you took time to listen? Being working for two jobs, it's much more difficult for me to do that because I'm always having something to do. And there's sometimes I'm like, I just feel like, you ever feel like that call, that pulling? Like, I just need to go take a half a day and just go somewhere and just be quiet and just spend time with God and just lay aside all the responsibility of family, of church, of life, and just be in His presence and just wait. My older brother Jeff, he calls them pilgrimages. He leads people to Italy and different places in the world. They even have a place opening up in Montana where people come and they get away out in nature. No, not to be one with nature, but to get away from busyness, to be able to focus on God and to be able just to fill up. That'd be nice. I kind of wish we could put all our bills on hold for a month. We all do, "Hey guys, let's close up the church for a month. Don't worry about the bills, will take care of itself. And we're going to go to Italy or Montana and just spend a week or two just spending time with God and being quiet and listening." And, you know, I wonder how much we'd all come back just totally pumped and energized and excited about what God wants to do because we took time to listen. Have you been listening to Jesus Christ this week? What is He saying to you? Because here in James, he says, be quick, swift to hear, slow to speak. And I think that first starts in our relationship with Jesus. As we learn that principle with Him and we transfer that then over to our relationship with one another, we'll see how it begins to transform first our relationship with Jesus, but then our relationship with those others that maybe we have not been good at listening to. Are you listening? Are you listening? The worship team can come forward. Of course, there's always that question, how does God speak? And that's a full message in itself. But you know, the primary way that God speaks to us is through His Word. And you know what? I do believe there's other ways that God speaks, but you know what? It never contradicts. It never goes against His Word. His primary way He speaks to us is through His Word. I was talking to my dad. He goes to a Baptist church, but he also goes to a study. And he was talking about, so he knows some Seventh-day Adventist friends. And he's talked to them, and they debate things. And he's very close to them. He goes to Bible study with some of them. And they understand he disagrees with them, and he's talking. And they have this woman. My mind's blank. There's a woman that the Seventh-day Adventists listen to as their prophet. Like with Joseph Smith of the Mormons, the Seventh-day Adventists have a woman who was a prophetess, who came, who expounds on Scripture, but she expounds beyond Scripture, and they listen to her because she's a prophet. So in a sense, she has the authority of Scripture, right? Well, for me, that's a big warning sign right there. Anytime God speaks, He never contradicts His Word. So how does God speak? He speaks through His Word. But when you read His Word, do we take time to listen afterwards and see what He wants to say? When I read God's Word, my goal is not to read a lot of it. It's like I'm reading through the book of Mark right now, and I'll read it. I'll read a chapter if it's a real long chapter, and I'll just kind of read it. But we don't have to read a lot. Just read it and think about it. This week in my life, I was reading the story where Jesus was, He came into Jerusalem. And He went to the fig tree. He was hungry. And He went up to the fig tree, and there was no figs on it. And He said, "Oh, never again." He cursed the tree. Well, the next day, the disciples come out, and they say they saw the fig tree, and the fig tree was just shriveled up, even to its root. It was just shriveled up. And they're so amazed, and Jesus looks at them and goes, "Believe in God." Right? Believe in God. You know what? If you believe, and there's a script, there's a little verse that says, if you believe that you receive it, you will receive it when you ask in prayer. And I remember just reading that, it's like, wow, that's really interesting. When I ask in prayer, do I believe that God answers it before He does? That's an interesting thing to listen to God. God's saying, you know what? When I ask God, I don't want to be wasteful of time in my life. You think that's God's will? Does God want us to be diligent, faithful people of God? So there's no question if I'm asking God something that is His will. So I can ask in confidence, Lord, I ask You just to give me, you know, one prayer I pray is from Philippians 2, I think it's Philippians 2:13. It is God who works in us both to will and to do of His good pleasure. And I ask God, work in my will to desire to do what You want me to do. Taking time to read God's Word and just listening to it. Let it permeate and listen to what God wants to say. And I just want, as we just have this, I want Him to go through this song, and we're going to be handing out communion. But I just want you first, as we go through the song, just to search your heart. What has God been saying to you? What does God say to you this week? How can you be quick to listen and slow to speak in your lives? And then we'll have our communion time together.